waiting for the coming of the glad millennial day, when our blessed Lord shall come and catch his waiting bride away. Oh, my heart is filled with rapture as I labor, watch, and pray, for our Lord is coming back to earth again. Oh, our Lord is coming back to earth again. Yes, our Lord is coming back to earth again. Satan will be bound, 1,000 years will have no tempter then, after Jesus shall come back to earth again. Jesus coming back to be the answer to our soaring cry, for the knowledge of the Lord shall fill the earth and sea and sky. God shall take away all sickness, and the sufferer's tears will dry, when our Savior shall come back to earth again. Oh, our Lord is coming back to earth again. Yes, our Lord is coming back to earth again. Satan will be bound, 1,000 years will have no tempter then, after Jesus shall come back to earth again. Yes, the ransomed of the Lord shall come to Zion then with joy, and in all his holy mountain nothing hurts or shall destroy. Perfect peace shall reign in every heart, and love without alloy, after Jesus shall come back to earth again. Oh, our Lord is coming back to earth again. Yes, our Lord is coming back to earth again. Satan will be bound, 1,000 years will have no tempter then, after Jesus shall come back to earth again. Then the sin and sorrow, pain and death of this dark world shall cease, in a glorious reign with Jesus of 1,000 years of peace. All the earth is groaning, crying for that day of sweet release, for our Jesus to come back to earth again. Oh, our Lord is coming back to earth again. Yes, our Lord is coming back to earth again. Satan will be bound, 1,000 years will have no tempter then, after Jesus shall come back to earth again. Then the sin and sorrow, pain and death of this dark world shall cease, in our glorious reign with Jesus of 1,000 years of peace. All the earth is groaning, crying for that day of sweet release, for our Jesus to come back to earth again. Oh, our Lord is coming back to earth again. Yes, our Lord is coming back to earth again.
Oh, he's coming.
Satan will be bound.
He's coming, no doubt about it. Are you looking for him? Are you looking for Jesus to come? Are you expecting him at any moment? I mean, really, are you looking for him, and are you expecting him? He's coming for those who are looking for him. He cannot come for those who are not looking for him, because he made that very plain in his Holy Bible. Now, we've got a special program today. I want it to be a blessing. I want it to get your attention. The world is coming apart. The world is coming apart. The political season has set a tone and created an atmosphere that is scary. You're having people saying, if our sign don't win, there's going to be blood in the streets. I don't doubt that. I don't doubt that blood is coming for the streets. It is scary. It is really scary. And my dear friend, don't take anything lightly, because the coming of the Lord is at the door. Are you listening to me? The coming of the Lord is at the door. And what I want to do is get you expecting what is going to happen, and I want to get you ready for what is going to happen. You know, if you're not ready, can you imagine the fright? Can you imagine the fright the day after the rapture, when there are millions of people missing, grandmothers and granddaddies and husbands and wives and even mature children who have repented without the parents being spiritual with them. I mean, it's going to be amazing, the crowd that's going to disappear on that day of the rapture. But what is horrible is the world's already coming apart. And it's only going to escalate many times over after that rapture. I mean, what's happening now is not 10% of what will happen the day beginning after that rapture. It would escalate. It won't all happen the same day. It will just grow and escalate and escalate and on. And there'll be 7 years now of hell on earth before Jesus comes back from heaven riding that white horse. Oh, what a day that's going to be. I wish you'd do something for me. Everybody out there that's listening, please share this with your friends. Call a few people on the telephone if you're listening by radio or if you're watching by internet. Call people and get them to listen. If you're watching by Facebook, you can click on the little share button and it will go to your friends. I wish you'd do that. I wish several dozens of you, even 100 of you, would share it. And let's get the news to the people that the world is really coming apart. I'm telling you, the world is coming apart. Now, I want to stop before I read Bible to you. I've got scriptures to share with you that are just overwhelming. Let me just share a word or two. And behold, the day cometh that shall burn as an oven. And all the proud, yea, and all they that do wickedly shall tremble, or be stubble, I'm sorry, shall be stubble. And that day that cometh shall burn them up, saith the Lord of hosts, that it shall leave them neither root nor branch, shall burn them up. I mean, there's going to be literally millions of people just simply destroyed in the physical condition that takes hold of this earth. Everything you can imagine is going to go knippy in this coming world. And it's going to be absolutely hell on earth. The only words you can say for it, the world is already coming apart. Now, I did a little research trying to find out how many people are killed in America every year. And I came up with this number, 17,250 people. This was the statistics for 2016. 17,250 people killed every year. That's just in America now. Just in America. 17,250 people slaughtered, murdered, killed viciously with anger and with wrath and with every kind of violence you can imagine. 17,250. And then I looked at how many divorces every year in America. Husband and wife can't get along. First fight, fornicate. I mean, all kinds of things that get in the way of marriages. And the number of marriages was staggering. 876,000 divorces in America every year. 876,000. This was the year 16. The year 2016. 876,000 divorces. Husbands and wives splitting up. Now think about that kind or number of divorces, and now the thousands, probably even more, that never even get married. They just live together in fornication, live together outside the bonds of wedlock, and just, you know, break the commandments of God and live like they please. That's divorces. Divorces, husband and wife splitting up and being divorced. And then I got to looking at abortions. Do you know there's over 40 million babies killed in the world every year? Over 40 million babies that are slaughtered and that are killed in the womb, outside partially outside the womb. I mean, that's overwhelming, friend. And you say this world isn't coming apart? Of course it's coming apart. It is overwhelming what is taking place in our world. I mean, that's overwhelming. In America, there's over 700,000 abortions every year. In America, over 700,000 babies, little babies. Have you ever learned to love a little baby? Have you ever walked into a hospital when a little child was just born, and there it is in its mother's arms, just the most beautiful little critter? Hallelujah. I've got four great grands now, and they're just beautiful. They are breathtakingly beautiful. That's all I can say. I love them to death. One named Natalie, one little girl named Allie, one little son named Caden, and then another little grandson named Ren Lee. Ren Lee, that's the newest one. Just three or four weeks old. I'm telling you, it's beautiful. And to think that 700,000 are being killed every year in America, 40 million plus in the world, 40 million plus in the world every year, slaughtered. Now, our world is coming apart. You can't call that anything but coming apart. You can't call that anything but horrible and terrible, and my heart aches. Now, I've given myself to prayer, and I'm not bragging. I'm just telling you because I want to be an example. I want to enlist you to join me. I want to enlist you to join me. But we're praying here at our church beginning about 5:30 or 6 o'clock, 7 days a week, every morning. I was here this morning before 5:30 with a joy. I mean with a joy to cry out and pray. And Wednesday night I spoke on weeping. They that go forth weeping, doubtless, with bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing their sheaves with them. You can win people to Christ if you start weeping and praying and get on your face. Your children not being saved because of you, mommy, and you, daddy, because you aren't given the time to prayer that is absolutely imperative if your children and your loved ones and your neighbors and your working friends and whoever, if they're won to Christ. They will not. The Holy Spirit alone can bring a sinner to Christ. And you can only activate the power of the Holy Spirit by your prayers, by your devotion. He said, Psalms 126, 5 and 6, they that go forth weeping shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing their sheaves or their souls with them. I promise you, this world's coming apart. And if you've ever given yourself to prayer, we've got a voting occasion on Tuesday of next week. And I'm crying out to every believer to vote a Bible-believing vote. You can't vote against a people who believe in killing unborn children. You can't vote against for people who are into this horrible conduct. God is put out of their life, and it is vile. It is evil. Now, I'm not saying that people on the conservative side are all great saints and all high moral people. Oh, no. There's sin everywhere. I was a sinner till I came to Christ. And there are multitudes of people out there who've never come to Christ and who have backslid, who did come to Christ at one time. And it's a dark hour. The world's coming apart. That's the only words you can say for it. You cannot say anything but that the world is coming apart. And I can show you how the Bible said this was going to happen and how horrible it really is. And there's no question that's the hour in which we are living. We really are. Now, please share this with friends and let's wake people up. Let's do everything in our power to wake people up and to get them to get right with God. Now, I want to read that verse again that I just read. For behold, the day cometh that shall burn as an oven, and all the proud, think, notice that, yea, and all that do wickedly shall be stubble. All that do wickedly shall be stubble. And the day that cometh shall burn them up, saith the Lord of hosts, that it shall leave them neither root nor branch. Neither root nor branch. Now, if you don't believe that day of judgment is coming, get in your Bible and look at what happened to Sodom and Gomorrah. Look at what happened to Israel when Nebuchadnezzar marched against them, and they refused to repent. They refused to act humble and to cry out to God for mercy. They just kept on bulldogging their way into sin. Wednesday night, I read a scripture in Jeremiah chapter 9. No, that was Ezekiel. I'm sorry. Ezekiel chapter 9. And I read where God sent an angel among Israel there in Jerusalem and said, I want you to go through this city and mark every person, every man that cries and sighs. The judgment was put on the men. And that's where judgment always begins, with men. You say you're putting down women. No, I'm not. Women are the emotional people. They feel with their emotion. We men tend to rationalize with our rational thinking. But God made them to be emotional, and he made us to be rational. And each one of us have our duty, and each part is just as important as the other part. What would I have been without the emotional beauty of my Juanita? Today's her birthday, by the way. She would be 84 today. 84 if she was here with me. And I love her every day. I weep over her just about every day because her tenderness, that emotional side of this precious lady of mine, made everything that I was and could ever be more powerful and successful. And I could not have made it without her. And I mean that with all my heart. But you need to understand, the judgment will begin in this case in the book of Ezekiel chapter 9 with men. The ancient of the city was the very first. And they had to be marked if they were crying and sighing over the wickedness, the abomination. And I'm telling you, if men out there listening to me, preachers and laymen and the women, yes, join us, if we would go back to weeping and crying and sobbing over the wickedness that has come like a storm in our world, we'd make a difference. We'd make a world of difference. And I'm begging of you, I'm crying out to you, and I'm leading the way for this church. I mean, I'm in that prayer chamber every morning, 5 to 6. Have to get up an hour earlier than that to be here, but I have to go to bed earlier at night, and it's just changed my life. I am so grateful to God. I'm so grateful. It started with one of the laymen of our church who God spoke to him and told him what we needed to do. And I fell right in line with what God said because my layman had spoken what God had said. And it's making a world of difference. I mean, we baptized two men over 75 years of age just a few days ago. Men, two, 75 years old, and they came to Christ. You say, oh, that's breathtaking. You better believe it's breathtaking. You can't, I mean, the possibility, the opportunities, how do I say, the chances of you ever getting saved after about 20 is only about 4 or 5%. 4 or 5% after you pass the age of 21. 4 or 5%. Are you hearing me? You play around with your life and live in sin. You're taking days off. You see, every day in sin takes 2 days off your life. Every day in sin. If you start living like a unconcerned person at 15, in 30 years, you've already taken 60 years off your life. You are 75, you know, not personally, you would only be 55, but no, 45, but you'd be 75 in your physical decay, and you'll be dead in 5 years at the minimum, average now. This is average. Every person will be different. I'm telling you, living wickedly is an unthinkable, unimaginable life. Anybody that would want to live wicked and cuss and swear and drink and fornicate and do all the things of the world, sodomy, every bit of it is taking days off your life. And you better understand that, because I know I speak the truth to you. There is no question. You can look around and see it. Now, let's talk a minute before I read some scripture about the cup of wrath. The Bible talks often about the cup of wrath. It's like God has a great, it's not really anything that you put something in, but it's a principle. God has a principle of wickedness reaching a certain stage to where God says, no more, that's it. I'm stopping right here. Everything's coming to a halt. Well, that's what's fixing to happen. God's cup of wrath is full. I believe it's full. It may even be running over. And every time somebody gets saved and repents, there's a little taken out. But there's a whole lot more being put in by the wicked and the ungodly. And when that cup gets full, it's all coming to an end. You better hear me. It'll be a process. I'm not talking about something happening all in one day. I'm talking about a period of time. And when it starts, it'll start with the rapture, the saints of God out of here. That could be any day. It could be today. I sure would like for it to be today. And when that rapture takes place, then that you know that cup's full. And you know then the judgments begin. All you got to do is read Revelation 5 and 6, 7, go on through, and you'll find the picture of such darkness and judgment like you can hardly imagine. Let me read something to you. It's going to be so terrible, and people left on this earth who didn't go in that rapture, and they are believers, and they become believers after the rapture. Either they're you know, indifferent believers. Now, people who live a worldly life aren't going in the rapture. People who live, you know, just pew warmers, all they are, they have no fire. Remember the story of the 10 virgins? 5 were wise and 5 were foolish. All of them were virgins, but 5 of them were foolish virgins. There was no oil in their vessel. They were indifferent. They were cold. They was living a calculated, decent life, a good life, but a calculated, careless life, and they missed the rapture. Now, those people are going to die in multitudes after that rapture. I'll read it to you. You got to hear what the Bible says. What I say don't mean a lot. Well, if I speak the truth, it does. And I'm going to do my level best to speak the truth. But I'm telling you that after the rapture, here's a multitude. One of the elders said unto me, whence are these? What are these which are arrayed in fine linen? And whence came they? Where did they come from? And I said unto him, sir, thou knowest. And he said to me, these are they which came out of great tribulation and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. In the blood of the Lamb. Friend, you got to understand, there are going to be multitudes of people that get right with God after that rapture. It really is. There are going to be multitudes of lukewarm, indifferent, careless believers in the church, even preachers, even leading laymen, carelessly living any old way, claiming to be right with God. Friend, listen to me. You got to hear me. It's time to get right with God. I got to take a call here. I love to get calls. You on the air. May I help you, please?
Yes, Pastor Chambers.
Yes.
This is Linda from Pennsylvania.
Hey, Linda.
Hey, I have a few questions for you.
All right, let's start with one.
Okay. I have your little booklet here. It's entitled A Marriage from Hell.
Okay.
And I was raised, my family, we were raised in a Free Methodist church. However, my brother married a girl who's Roman Catholic, and they were married in the Catholic church. So what does this mean for my brother?
Well, that article wasn't written just to deal with your brother's circumstance. Now, I know that Catholicism is a very empty, a hopeless doctrine. They don't believe in being born again. They believe taking the communion is taking the power and the body and blood of Jesus into their body. And we know that doesn't save you. There are good Catholic people that really are truly decent, wonderful people. So I'm not putting down Catholic people. But I'm telling you that their faith is a false faith, and their church is a false church, and their present pope is very clearly going worse, worse, and worse all the time. So I'm 100% against Catholic marriages with Protestants and Catholic marriages, but that's not what that article was written for. Marriage made in, what I did in that article talk about the church. Yeah, I'm sorry. I remember now that was the article that I talked about Catholics and Protestants kind of uniting and marrying together. And that's happening in the one world church. And it's just a sign of the end. It's the one world church that's going to miss the rapture.
But my brother would be connected to it then. So what's
your brother is what?
If he's married to one, that would make him connected to them.
Well, I understand, and I'm not for it. But again, does he know Jesus? Is he born again?
Well, he goes to the Free Methodist, and his wife and his children go to the Catholic Church.
Well, for him to let his children go to the Catholic Church is of course, is death, spiritual death. There's no life there. There is no life in a Catholic, an ordinary Catholic church. And again, I'm not putting these people down. Right. I'm only talking about doctrines. I'm talking about what the truth is and what the truth is not. You've got to be born again. You've got to know Jesus as your Lord and Savior. You've got to live by the Bible, not the dictates of a pope.
Right, but he might have to denounce that. I don't know. Well, my other question...
Maybe he could win her to Christ. Now that he's married to her, his duty is to lead her to Christ.
Okay.
That's his duty. He married her, and if he knows Jesus, and probably... I don't know anything about how much the Free Methodist preaches the old-time truth, but if your brother gets good and saved, he'll lead his wife to get good and saved. A good husband can always win his wife, and a good wife can usually, not always, but in most cases, in both ways there, they can win the unsaved companion.
Okay. Okay, I'll go on to the next question. I want to go quickly for you. Can someone that says they're a Christian also be in a secret society?
I don't believe in being in secret societies.
Right, but there's a lot of these Christian men that say they're Christians, but yet they're in Freemasonry.
Well, you know, it all comes down to you get right with God, you get out of things that's wrong. So you're talking about people that need to be led to Christ. If anybody I know that's into Freemason, I don't fight with them over Freemason. I try to lead them to Jesus. And when they really find Jesus and they're born again, they'll learn the truth for themselves.
Okay. Is all of psychology occultic or is some of it biblical?
I have never seen biblical psychology. Psychology is a total different sphere of force, a sphere of knowledge contrary to the Bible. A psychologist thinks they've got to help psychoanalyze people and lead them gradually by teachings and by discipline and different things out of their wicked life. And I'm telling you, if you get born again, he'll make a new creature out of you in 5 minutes and less.
Okay, because I have been told that I have been depressed, and I don't know if, you know.
If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Depression will disappear if you'll merge yourself in the love of Jesus and the Bible, the power of the Word, and great dedicated prayer. Let the Spirit of God become part of your prayer life, and your depression will disappear.
Okay. Okay, thank you, Pastor.
Now, will you do that praying?
Yeah. Yes. I'm born again. I was saved in the Methodist Church.
So you know you're born again.
Well, how do we know for sure?
Yeah, no. Now, see, I got you to say the right words. If you don't know for sure, you need to know for sure. I would suggest that's a pretty good indication that you've never been born again. I'm telling you, you get right with Christ, you turn your life over to him, confess all your sins, and believe him by the blood to wash you and make you a new creature. And do it until you know you're born again, till you know it. Don't settle for hope so, think so, maybe so. You stay on your knees until you know so.
Okay.
Will you do that?
Yes, I will.
And don't wait. Read the book of John first, just the book of John. Don't read my stuff. Don't read nobody else's stuff for a few days, maybe even a few weeks. Read the book of John and pray one little simple prayer. I want to know Jesus. I want to see and know Jesus. Now, see him don't mean see him physically. It means to see him spiritually, to experience him, to have him move into your life in a way that you know you belong to him. And you can know that, my dear sister.
Okay. Thank you.
Please don't wait around now. Jesus is coming any minute.
Okay.
God bless your heart. I thank you for calling. I really do. Well, that was a good call, and those are good questions, and I think my answers were good. I'm telling all of you, quit playing around with your life. That dear lady, I think so. I hope so. See, that's a dear woman, and there's a possibility somebody thinking like that may have been saved. I'm not going to, completely say no. But I'm going to tell you, that's not where to live. You need to know that you know that you know. And when you really know, you'll know. I'm telling you, I got saved at 16. I remember going home from church, and I didn't know one scripture. I didn't know one thing about God. I'd never heard a gospel sermon like I was beginning to hear. And I said to somebody on my way home the night I was converted, I went to church tonight a goat. I'm going home a sheep. I went to church tonight a goat. I'm going home a sheep. I knew as much as I'm sitting in this chair that I was a brand new creature. The next day I got on my dad's tractor, had to do something on the tractor. I had to use a wrench and it slipped and I skinned my knuckles. And I remember I said an ugly word, a D word, not a bad word, but a bad enough word that it broke my heart. And I repented. See, I knew I was saved because I couldn't even say that word, that simple word, starts with a D, and not be condemned. I was a new creature. He made a new man, and he'll do that for that lady. I pray that it happens today. Praise God. Father, save her. Don't let her get away from it. Don't let her get away from it. Praise the Lord. Now, you're welcome to call. The number to call is 704-391-0588. 704-391. Let me put up those numbers, let you see them for a minute, okay? Now, you call me quickly. 800 number, 1-800-338-7884. The above number is our regular number, and you got a cell phone. You don't have long-distance charges, probably, so just use the first number, 704-391-0588. I'd love to answer questions for you. And I want to tell you, our world's coming apart. And I want to tell everybody out there, I am, if you're one of my listeners and you respect me, you need to make sure you vote. You don't need to let nothing stop you from voting. Nothing. If you're not registered, Monday you can go to registration office and register and vote absentee ballot at the same time. So go do it. Don't play around. Don't wait around. You make sure you vote. Every Bible-believing person must vote and must vote a conservative vote. Vote against abortion. Vote against the evil things coming on our society. Vote for that good man that was just put on the Supreme Court who hopefully will help turn some things around. We don't know what he'll do, but we certainly have hope that he will. And nothing is more important than to turn our Supreme Court back to conservative values. Back to conservative values. So I'm begging of you. Now, I'm doing a special program today, and I'm trying to get you involved. The world is coming apart. I want you to get that in your head. I want you to send it to everybody you know. Don't you dare let people go to hell all around you, people all over your Facebook, and you're not doing anything about it, and you're not telling them about Jesus. At least send my material and let me tell them about Jesus. I promise you, I'm doing my best. I'm trying my best to fill this world with a message of hope in Christ. I'm trying my best to win souls. I'm weeping and praying 2 to 3 hours a day. I'm not telling you that to brag. It ain't nothing to brag about. I'm telling you that to influence you and to get you on the altar and to get you praying. Let me tell you something. You know that altar in there in our sanctuary? That altar is an extension of the heavenly altar in the temple in heaven. There's a temple in heaven in the northern parts where God sits on his throne. And there's an altar in that temple. And on that altar is the blood that Jesus spilled on the cross of Calvary. Jesus ascended to heaven the day of his resurrection. He told the lady that came in the garden, he said, "Touch me not, I have not yet ascended. I have not yet ascended." He had to take his own blood and put it on that altar, and it's still there. And you can read in Revelation chapter 19, where he actually dips his vesture in the blood that's on the altar and wears it on his white horse as he comes back to set up his kingdom. I put that on the Facebook today. And by the way, go to my Facebook, Joseph Chambers. Joseph Chambers, and get a part of it. You let me know. I get so many, I can't accept everybody. I've had probably 20,000 requests from all over the world, and I can only have 5,000, I'm told. And so I'm trying to be real careful, and I'm trying to get people who can then send it to their own friends. See, I don't need to put all your friends on. I just need to put you on and let you send it to all your friends. And that way, we can multiply this message many times over. And that's what I'm trying to do, okay? Now, grab your phone while I read again, okay? I wanted to read. Say, where was I going to go and read? Oh, I was reading in Revelation about those people who get saved after the rapture or get cleaned up. Maybe already saved, but no oil in their vessel. They're not living a godly life, careless and wicked. You know, some people teach you can sin. You do sin every day after you get saved. That's not true. If you're living in sin, you're not going to no rapture. You better hear me. You're living in sin. You've been told you sin more or less every day, so you just keep on sinning more or less. Some of you, I had a preacher that said if he was in the bed with a prostitute and the rapture come, he'd still go in the rapture. That's about as insane as it's possible to be. That's terrible. Anybody who preached that is going to send a lot of people to hell that they're then going to have to answer for. And I wouldn't be guilty of that in a million years. No way. So you got to get ready. And I want to show you what's fixing to happen after that rapture and the wicked on the earth. Let me read you this. It's breathtaking. Breathtaking. The book of Revelation, chapter 6. Let me get to the right place here. I beheld when he'd opened the sixth seal. And lo, there was a great multitude. There was a great earthquake, I'm sorry. And the sun became black as sackcloth of hair. And the moon became as blood. The stars of heaven fell into the earth, even as a fig tree casteth her untimely figs when she is shaken of a mighty wind. The heavens departed as a scroll. The heavens, that's the second heavens, between the earthly first heavens and the heavenly third heavens. There's the second heavens. The Bible says Satan is the prince of the power of that of the air in that second heavens. Will it disappear? It disappears. It departs like a scroll. You know why? Because God cast the devil and all of his angels out of the midair and cast them down to the earth. And they become earthbound. You see that in chapter 12. Happens though before this is that I'm reading. The kings of the earth and the great men and the rich men and the chief captains and the mighty men and every bondsman and every freeman hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains and said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. Now we're talking about a dark day. We're talking about hellish invasion like you've never even thought was possible. You're talking about dark times, my friend. And I'm telling you, get right with God and quit playing. And make sure you be a good citizen, too. Hey, if there's any questions about voting, why don't you call me? Do I have a right to talk about voting on here? Well, I'm not supposed to endorse somebody, and I'm not endorsing anybody. But I'm going to tell you this. I'm going to vote strictly conservative and Republican. I'm not going to vote for anybody that might help out Pelosi and Schumer. I'm not going to vote for somebody to help them because they're going to make them toe the line. If they don't toe the line, they'll get no promotions and no money to be reelected in 2 years. Talking about the congressman. So you make sure you vote for conservative people. And in the meantime, remember, you make sure you're ready to meet God, okay? I want to take you to the book of Malachi, last book of the Old Testament. Last book of the Old Testament. And I want to read you that last chapter so you can get a feel of what is really about to happen. Are you listening? Are you listening? For behold, the day cometh that shall burn as an oven. And the proud, all the proud, yea, and all that live wickedly shall be stubble. And the day that cometh shall burn them up, saith the Lord of hosts, that it shall leave them neither root nor stubble. But unto you that fear my name, woo, Hallelujah. I fear his name. I love him. I love my Father. I love my Savior. I love the sweet Comforter, the Holy Spirit. Do you love the Father? Do you love the Son? Do you love the Comforter? You ought to tell them every day. The Bible says from the rising of the sun to the setting thereof, men ought to praise God all the day long. Men ought to praise God all the day long. But unto you that fear my name, shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings. And ye shall go forth and grow up as calves in the stall, or of the stall. And ye shall tread down the wicked. Hey, we're going to put an end to this wicked. As we shall tread down the wicked. That's what the Bible says. But ye, that's us, shall share down the wicked. For they shall be ashes under the soles of your feet. In the day that I shall do this, saith the Lord of hosts. In the day that God brings judgment, he's going to bring judgment. It's coming. The day of the Lord is coming. You can't believe nothing else. You can't think of 40 million babies being slaughtered every year in mothers' wombs all over this world. You can't think of nearly a million in America, supposed to be the Christian nation, used to be the Christian nation, still has a great number of good Bible-loving people. That's why we have a president that's doing the good things. It's because of the praying and the great prayers. Let me ask every one of you, between now and Tuesday, all day Tuesday, all day Monday, all days tomorrow, the rest of the day today, you ought to be on your knees praying. Find you a place. Get on your knees and pray for America. Ask God to put a weeping spirit on you. The Bible speaks of the people in his culture that cry and sigh. C-R-Y, cry and sigh. Sigh. That means they groan. They groan. They groan. Groan in the spirit. Groan. Groan. I'm not saying that right. In the spirit. I mean, they cry out. They seek God with all their heart. I tell you, that's what I'm doing. I'm praying for my president. I'm praying for every elected official, both sides, the conservatives or the liberals. I'm praying for all of them. I pray for God to convert those who don't believe the Bible, don't love the scripture. I'm praying for God to help those who do love the Bible to really work a miracle in their life. I'm praying for the president and his dear wife and family to really know God in the born-again experience. In the born-again life, there's nothing richer and sweeter than the born-again life. And so I'm reading to you. I'm showing you. And it says it again. Let me read it. But unto you that fear my name shall the Son, and that's a capital S, shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings. When he's coming to straighten this world out. He's coming to make a new place out of it. He's coming to make a new place of it. Grab your phone and call me. I want you to talk about this judgment day coming. I want to hear your question. I want to get you involved in understanding it. Who knows the thousands that will listen when you ask it and say, I'm so glad. I wish I had asked that question. Call me right quickly. Grab your phone, 704-391-0588. Let me give you the number again, 704. Let me make sure. I got to be careful with this thing. I hit the wrong button. Sometimes I make a mess. I tell you, 704-391-0588, 1-800-338-7884. You've got my email data, I'll call it in a minute, down there to send an email. Listen, friend, we really care. We are reaching out for you with all that's in us, okay? With all that's in us, 704-391-0588. Our toll-free number, 1-800-33-TRUTH, 33-TRUTH, T-R-U-T-H, 33-8-7-8-8-4. I want to hear from you. I really do. I want to answer your question. I want to help you understand something that you yet don't understand, something that you can decipher then, and maybe you can teach it to others, and maybe you as a pastor would like to preach about it tomorrow, and you need some help. I'd love to be the one to help you. I'm telling you, if ever we got close to God and got ourselves on the altar to Christ in a fresh way, this hour demands it. And so I'm crying out to you. I really am. I love you. I love my family. I really do love my radio family. Let me read on now while you're calling. So grab your phone, and you shall tread them down, or tread down the wicked, for they shall be ashes under the sole of your feet in that day that I shall do this, in the day that God says I do this. God's going to do it, not me, not some preacher, not the Pope of Rome, not some leader of any religious segment. It's going to be God's action. It's going to be God's action. Are you hearing me? Remember you the law of Moses, my servant, whom I commanded unto him in Horeb for all Israel with the statutes and judgment. Live those statutes of God. Live pure and clean. Keep the Ten Commandments. Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. Quit running around doing your thing on the Lord's day. That's the Lord's day. I sent a text to a man yesterday and said, you need to quit running around on Saturday. On Sunday. You need to settle down and be a part of your church. Dedicate yourself to the house of God. If you really get right with God, you'll want to do that. I'm here to tell you. Let me read the next verse. Behold, I will send unto you Elijah, the prophet, before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. Now, you do know that during that 7 years, there are two prophets that arise. They preach all over the world. They preach all over the world. And they preach the old time message. Repent. Repent. Get right with God. Confess your sins. Be washed in the blood. Repent. Repent. Get right with God. Confess your sins. Be washed in the blood. And they're finally killed. Remember that story? Read it in Revelation 11. Finally they're killed. And they leave them laying in the streets of New Jerusalem while their bodies decompose. And they're rejoicing and shouting. They're having a big time around them. The prophets are dead. The prophets are dead. You can almost hear them crying out, the prophets are dead. The prophets are dead. And all of a sudden, God does a miracle. And he sends his great spirit. And it enters right into those two dead men. And they stand up on their feet. They stand up on their feet. And once they stand up on their feet, all the world has seen them by television, and they've been in news sites all over the world. Then the Bible says God raises them up, and they're sent up into heaven. And they go up in heaven to meet the mighty God. Hallelujah. That's a wonderful picture. There's seven different aspects to the rapture of the church. Jesus was the first fruits. The rapture of the church, the bride, that's going to be the next great event before the seven-year tribulation period. Then the tribulation saints in Revelation 7. Then the two witnesses in Revelation 11. And then 144,000 Jews in Revelation 14. And then a remnant of Jews in Revelation 15. And then a remnant of Gentiles in Revelation 19. I mean, it's a beautiful picture if you'll study it clearly and openly. And let truth be it. Which you live by and believe, not your own opinion and not other people's opinion. A lot of people have fought me over the seven aspects as they put, that's one event with seven aspects of that one event, seven parts of that one event. Jesus was called the first fruits. You can't deny that. That's at the very beginning. His resurrection was as real as the 144,000 will be in chapter 14. That's number four. Friend, number five, I'm sorry. We got some excellent things ahead of us. We are just overwhelmed and blessed with so many wonderful things that are coming. Now, you got to hear this. And he shall turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the hearts of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. Well, those kind of things are going to happen, my friend. Now, I'm going to take you to Revelation 24. I'm trying to get through to you to understand the hell that's coming on this earth, that we are at the end. We are at the end, my friend. We are at the end. You got to believe, Brother Chambers. I'm not trying to prove nothing. I can't tell you there won't be 20 more years. I can't tell you there'll even be 10 more minutes. I can't tell you there won't be 30 more years. Now, I'm going to tell you, if it's 30 more years, you aren't going to want to be living on this earth. I had a big meeting with my high school students on Thursday this week, and talked to them about all these things that are happening, what's going to happen, and all that's in front of us. And it's really an overwhelming picture. But let me take you to Matthew 24. See, people don't understand. You shall hear wars and rumors of wars. See that you be not troubled. For all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. And there shall be famines and pestilence and earthquakes in divers places. Well, that's already happening. Famine, earthquakes, earthquakes, pestilence. In divers places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. See, these are things happening now, before the rapture. Before the rapture. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and you shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. I'm telling you that right here in America, Bible-believing Christians are hated. You take the liberals. They call themselves progressives. Many Republicans, almost all the Democrats, the whole media world, they hate old-fashioned Bible-believing Christians. They really do. They really do. We just have to, you know, keep on doing what we do in the name of the Lord. They shall deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and you shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. If you knew how many Christians in the world at different places are slaughtered every year simply because they're Bible-believing Christians. Bible-believing Christians in the thousands. In the thousands, my friends. You've got to understand. And then shall many be offended and shall betray one another and shall hate one another. Now that's where we are now. Many shall be offended and shall betray one another and shall hate one another. You know, the worst pain that I have ever had in my life, the worst pain, is the pain I have when people that have been my friends turn against me and hate me. I've got them by the hundreds all over these communities that hate me over the effort we made against the pornographers, the effort we made against the sodomites, the efforts we made to turn our people back to the Bible. The effort I made to get people to understand that America was born a Christian nation. And I can just name the pre-trib rapture. Now, is the one thing I'm hated for the most. It's because I preached the pre-trib rapture. Well, the Bible said it would happen. It said that many shall be offended. Many shall be offended and shall hate, betray one another and shall hate one another. Just in the last days, I've had people that once was great friends who just literally, I can sense their despite against me. And I'm saying, what in the world is going on? And many false prophets shall arise and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. The love of many shall wax cold. And he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. He, listen to me. Somebody don't like you, love them. Treat them kind. Treat them nice. Keep on living for Christ. Somebody hates your spiritual life, keep on being spiritual. Dig in. Pray harder. Get closer to God. Become more powerful in the joys of the Holy Ghost. There are husbands who just cannot stand their godly wives and wives who can't stand their godly husbands. I get calls all the time from people involved in their husbands and wives leaving them because they're dedicated Christians. Dedicated Christians. There are men who are determined to whore hop around with every adulteress they can find and still want to live cohabit with their wife, and a woman can't do that. I mean, that's just impossible. And it's a dark world. And so Jesus said these things would happen. Because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. Now go down a little lower, and you see the tribulation period. When you shall see the abomination of desolation, spoken of by Daniel the prophet, stand in the holy place. Whoso readeth, let him understand. Then let them which be in Judah flee into the mountains. See, one of the things that God has given us a president for, President Donald Trump, is because of Israel. We are doing more and showing more love and kindness for Israel now than we've shown and done since Ronald Reagan was our president. I mean, the others have talked good about Israel, but no more than political talk. Now our president don't talk political talk. He does things. He acts. He does what he should be. And that's why now the U.S. Embassy is in Jerusalem instead of in Tel Aviv. See? Good things. But the world is coming apart. Are you hearing me? Now, I know I got to go. 10 minutes here. 9 minutes. And I really want to answer some questions. Now, I've said a lot. And you know I can sit here and spend hours telling you this Bible, reading different scriptures. Thank God the Bible has become an open book for this old man, and I'm grateful. I give him the joy of it. I give him the credit. He's kept me in it all these years, and I'm grateful. I just finished 61 years as a pastor. Today is my wife's birthday. If she was here, she would be 84, and she was a darling. I keep wanting her back so bad I don't know what to do. But I'm telling you, I'd like to let her know I love her again. But friend, listen, we're all going to go home soon. Who knows how quickly that rapture is about to take place? Why don't the world believe this? Why does the world look at all this happening, read the Bible, and not know it's over? I mean, we're at the verge. The cup of wrath is full. Maybe there's a little tidbit at the top, yet unfilled. I don't know. When it's full, it'll be over. And it's got to be close to being full. You know that. 40 million babies killed every year in the world. I mean, if God hates anything, he's got to hate the abortion of babies. He's got to hate it. And God is absolutely a holy God. Sodomy is a blasphemy in the face of God. Same-sex marriage is as wicked and evil as anything on the face of this earth can be. And then you got the transgender move taking place, which is none but demon spirits, devils. That's all it can be. You can't read the Bible and not know that. See, the Bible is still true. The Bible is the Word of God. Now, I'm waiting for some calls. Grab your phone. I'm telling you, grab your phone. When there are so many questions that need to be asked, and somebody needs to ask them. Somebody needs to help people out there hear and understand what we're dealing with. I've tried my best to find somebody to get ready one of these days to take over this radio program. I don't have anybody that cares that much about this kind of thing. I mean, this is wonderful. I'm bringing the truth to millions. I don't know how many are hearing me. I just know it's a great crowd, a great company, and I'm grateful. And I just want to tell more and more and more. That's all I want to do. And then when it's time to go, I'm ready to leave, brother. I'm not saying goodbye. I'm just going to be gone. Oh, what a day. What a day. God bless you now. Let me hear from you. Call me quickly. I'd love to answer some questions. 704. Now, I'm sitting here looking at you, telling you how much I care. One thing I'm praying for now is I'm praying for great conviction. Great conviction. Jesus said when the Holy Spirit came, he would convince the world, reprove the world of judgment, of sin, and of judgment. Sin, judgment, and righteousness. Sin, righteousness, and judgment. That's the better order. Now, sin, righteousness, and judgment. You get right with God and you let Christ come into your life, he'll teach you the right way. He'll teach you the pure way. He will teach you the pure way. Hey, I need to tell you, there's a wonderful article, The World Coming Apart, is available. All you got to do is pick up your phone. You can get it. Get one for your pastor. Get one for yourself. You need to read this material. I know it's on the internet, and many of you probably go to the internet to read it. And I love that. But I'd love to send you a copy to put in your Bible. And to just help you. Hey, by the way, I've got a voter guide. This voter guide will have on it my votes, who I'm going to vote for, how I'm going to vote. That will be available in the morning. It's available this afternoon. You can get a copy. You have to come and get it. You have to come now. Come to church in the morning. We have dinner right here in the cafeteria. We'll take you to lunch with us. We'll feed every visitor that comes. I promise you. I promise you. And I'm telling you, you need to come. We're seeing people saved. We've had 3 men saved in the last few weeks. Men, and that to me is thrilling because almost nobody is seeing anybody really come into Christ. A lot of people come to the altar, claim to be religious, but it doesn't change their life. They keep on living the same way. I'm talking about getting born again. I'm talking about becoming a new creature in Christ. I'm talking about being totally transformed, turned upside down. I'm talking about living right, coming to church on Sunday night and Wednesday night. I mean, when you really get saved, you don't want to miss church. I've always believed that the Wednesday night crowd is the rapture ready crowd. The Wednesday night crowd is the rapture ready crowd. You don't have enough faith and walk with God and walk with God, go to church on Wednesday. I doubt seriously you're saved. And I'm calling on you. Get this article. Ladies are standing by. They'll take your name and address. Just keep calling. We'll be right here as long as that phone rings. The phone quits ringing for a little while. My ladies will leave. They got to prepare dinner for their family tomorrow. They got business to take care of. So call quickly. Get every one of those phone numbers. We got four lines. Get every one of them ringing. We'll put them on hold and wait on you. And if I can talk to you, I got time to answer a question and try to help you make sure you're right with God. I want you to know that you're right with God. I really do. I want you to know that you are right with God. And I'm praying for you with all of my heart. Now, keep calling. God bless your heart. We care about you. We're praying for you. I'll be preaching in the morning about the Holy Spirit and Bible conviction. The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit and Bible conviction. Let me tell you something you can do. You open your heart. You tell God, God, I know I'm a sinner, and I know I'm not saved. I know I'm lost, but I'm going to open my heart. I'm going to get me a Bible. I'm going to start going to a good church. I'm going to start reading my Bible, and I'm going to pray for the Holy Spirit to make himself real and to help me get saved. Don't just walk down an aisle and join a church. Don't just be baptized. Don't just take communion. Don't just take the sacrament of the Catholic Church. You need to be saved. You need to be born again. You get on your knees and you repent, confess your sins to the Lord. He died to cleanse you and forgive you for your sins. When you confess to Christ your sins and you believe him to wash you by his blood, he'll do just that. He'll wash you by his blood. The Bible says, who washed us by his own blood. The blood of Jesus will cleanse you and make a new creature out of you, and you will never, never be the same again. I'm telling you, there's nothing as wonderful as being saved. There's nothing as wonderful as being saved. When you get saved, you will be a new creature. Now, got about a minute here. I could take a call, but I'll even take some after the program is over if I can help you personally. And I'm telling you, we are on the verge of Jesus coming. We are on the verge of Jesus coming. Again, I want to warn you now. I'll tell you, I want to excite you. What I'm preaching in the morning could help any sinner that would come and listen give their life to Christ. I will make salvation as simply easy to understand as it's possible for me to do. Because I don't want you to be lost. I really don't. I don't want you to be lost. I want you to be right with God. I want you to live for Christ. The world is falling apart, and you don't want to fall apart with it, okay? I love you. I love you dearly. I want Christ to be the Lord of your life. I want you to serve him and live for him and do his will. Do you hear me? I want you to love him and serve him and do his will. I love you. I love you. I love you. God bless you.
The Lord of guilt and shame. Then the hand of Jesus touched me. Touch me, oh. that flows.